Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2 is well known. Most people interpret this verse to mean that basically everything is pointless or meaningless or futile. And that interpretation offers an important principle. But is that the only possible meaning? This is one of the reasons why I love the Word of God. It is so rich because there are layers and nuances that enable us to sometimes glean multiple principles from a verse. And I think this is one of those verses. To learn more, join me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. The book of Ecclesiastes was written by David's son Solomon. After living life to the fullest, while unfortunately succumbing to the allure of the world with power and wealth, Solomon summarized it all by calling it vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Now, I think that this is a valid interpretation of the verse. Solomon had been drawn to the world, and he drifted far from God. And by the end of his life, he had realized that nothing could satisfy the hunger inside of him except God. He had lived solely for what this world had to offer and found that without God, life was futile and pointless. So the common principle that can be drawn from this verse is not that life itself is pointless, but that life apart from God is pointless. God infuses life with meaning and purpose, and without Him, it's meaningless. To live for self alone is the highest form of vanity, of futility. Now, in addition to this valuable principle, the text offers us another principle as well. So let's examine this verse a little deeper by looking at the Hebrew. First, let's look at the phrase vanity of vanities. In Hebrew, the words reading from right to left are havel havalim. The first thing to note is that the same word is repeated twice, but it is singular the first time and plural the second time. And just to be totally clear, the word of in the phrase vanity of vanities is implied because based on the grammatical structure. When you have two nouns next to each other in Hebrew, if the first one is in what we call a construct state, it bounds the first noun to the second noun with the word of implied. And we see this frequently in the Old Testament. An example is the sons of Israel. There are only two Hebrew words, sons and Israel. But the words sons is written in the construct state to connect it to the word Israel with the word of. So B'nai Yisrael is translated as sons of Israel or children of Israel. So I just want to be really clear in the translation of the phrase vanity of vanities that you only see two Hebrew words, but they're translated as three words because the first word is in a construct state, which connects it to the second word, creating this chain of meaning, and they're connected by the word of. So havel havalim is translated as vanity of vanities. Now, it's interesting to note that this pattern expresses a superlative, which means the highest degree of something. This can be thought of as X of X's. When we think of superlatives, we can take an adjective like tall and say that someone is tall, or even compare to and say that one is taller. But the superlative is the most tall, the tallest. The superlative is the most of something. Superlatives like shortest, fastest, heaviest, and worst all mean the highest degree. There are a number of examples of superlatives formed this way in the Old Testament, and let's just look at a few examples. Genesis 9:25 says that Canaan will be a servant of servants. It means that he'll be the lowest servant. Exodus 26:33 speaks of the Holy of Holies, which means the holiest place. In Ezekiel 26:7, God calls Nebuchadnezzar a king of kings, which means the highest king. And in the Song of Solomon, it is called the Song of Songs, which implies it's the best song. So knowing that the phrase vanity of vanities expresses a superlative, the word havel is really important. The phrase havel havalim is like saying the most havel of all havels. The writer was saying that all or everything is the utmost havel. So that leads to the second question. What does havel mean? In a literal sense, hevel, which is the base word that havel comes from, hevel means breath or vapor. Now, most commentators view the word hevel to be used as a metaphor for vanity or futility in the book of Ecclesiastes. The King James Version and the ESV translate the word as vanity. The NIV and the NLT translate it as meaningless. The Berean Standard Bible and the NASB translate it as futility. Lexicons define the word as worthless or vain when used in a figurative sense, but it is possible that the writer used the word hevel to communicate that everything is not meaningless, but it will vanish like breath. Because hevel means breath or vapor, literally. Bible scholar Frederick Clark Putnam suggests looking at Ecclesiastes through the lens of hevel meaning breath. Breath is essential for life, so it's not meaningless, but it's temporary and fleeting. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 especially emphasizes this sense of life being fleeting. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Life is fleeting. Breath is but for a time. We are used to seeing Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9 read as, "Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun." The Hebrew word hevel is translated here as vanity. Would God tell us to live joyfully with the wife you love all the days of futility and meaninglessness? Well, love isn't meaningless or vain, but it is fleeting in the sense that we only have a limited amount of time here on earth, and then our time is over. Looking through this lens of fleeting breath, chapter 9, verse 9 makes more sense. We need to live joyfully and love while we can. With all of this new information, think back to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. It can be rendered vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But was the writer really saying that life is vain and futile? As I mentioned previously, I think Solomon recognized that life has little point or purpose if someone lives for the world instead of living for God, because it's God who gives us purpose and shares his wisdom as we navigate life. A life lived without God is futile. And a second important principle is to focus on what is quickly passing. Since everything is under the sun, and is temporary and fleeting, like our breath, we should enjoy what we have and what we can accomplish and enjoy them now, because all of these things will end. When we pass away, they will pass away. So perhaps the writer was saying something like this: a mere breath, a mere breath. It's all just breath. So we have two important principles. Life lived apart from God's will and purpose is meaningless and vanity. And life is like a vapor or breath that is fleeting. Life needs to be enjoyed as a gift from God for as long as it lasts. Thank you for joining me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. And until next time, take care and God bless.